Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 2, as the Apostle Paul stands up before King Agrippa, he makes his defense by saying, "O King, I am happy." That is again how Paul begins his defense. I am happy. If you're a New Testament Christian like the Apostle Paul, this morning you should be able to say, "I am happy." And that happiness is based upon the fellowship that we have with our God. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, we learn that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And in chapter 1 verse number 4, it's that fellowship that makes the Christian life so full of joy. And so when Paul said to the king, "I am happy," I'm convinced that he said that based upon his relationship with God, based upon the fellowship that he had with the Father and with the Son. God wants us to be confident of our eternal salvation. For that is why the Apostle John is writing this epistle. In fact, if you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, and beginning at verse number 11, you will see these thoughts. In 1 John 5, verse number 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. "And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Look at verse number 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Again, God wants us to be confident of our eternal salvation. As we look at chapter 1, we see that the Apostle John is dealing with fellowship. In chapter 5, he is dealing with eternal salvation, the confidence of eternal salvation. When we put the two together, we can conclude that it's fellowship with the Father and with the Son that gives us confidence of eternal salvation. This is how the Apostle John introduces this great book, talking about the fellowship that we have with God that gives us, that produces confidence. But as you look at 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4, we can see that that fellowship that we have with our God is based upon the deity of Jesus Christ. As we look at the first few verses, we see that Jesus Christ has come. As John says, "We saw Him. We beheld Him." You remember what we see in John 1 verse 29? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of this world." You see, we can enjoy eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross. Because Christ has come, we can have that fellowship with our God and with Jesus Christ. But as you look at what the Apostle John is saying, if we're going to continue in fellowship with God, we must strive to maintain that fellowship. Well, how do we maintain that fellowship with God that builds or produces confidence of eternal salvation? What you'll see the Apostle John doing in the book of 1 John is laying down tests. He gives us some tests that can help us determine our spiritual condition, that can help us determine whether or not we are maintaining fellowship with God that brings confidence of eternal salvation. And that's what we've been looking at. We started looking at this last week. Looking at those tests of fellowship. Those things that we can see in God's Word that can help us determine whether or not we are maintaining fellowship. We talked last week about when fellowship begins, when a person obeys the gospel. But now that we've obeyed the gospel, we want to maintain that fellowship, again, which produces confidence. And so what is the first test that we looked at last week? If we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we said last week, number one, we must walk in the light. We must walk in the light. What does that mean? We must walk in harmony with the will of God. We must keep in step with God. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, we learn that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We turn to God and we allow God to order our steps. And He orders our steps. He gives us that guidance, that direction when we turn to His Word. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Again, God's Word gives us that direction. And that's why the Apostle John would say in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. Walking in the light means walking in the truth of God's Word. The second test of fellowship that helps us determine whether or not we're maintaining fellowship with God is seen in verse 7 and following, and it has to do with confessing our sins. Not denying our sin, not ignoring our sin, not trying to cover up our sins. But as the language of Hebrews 4:14 through 16, approaching the throne of God's grace and mercy, confessing our sins. You see, if we're going to maintain fellowship with God, we must be willing to acknowledge our sins. As the Apostle John would say in verse 9, if we see that God's promises, fellowship is conditional, based upon our faithfulness to God, if we confess our sins. God is faithful. God is just, as we see. And God will forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This attitude is seen throughout the psalmist. For example, in Psalm 38, verse number 18, the psalmist said these words, For I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sins. And that's what the Apostle John is encouraging Christians to do as they walk in the light. You walk in the light. You confess your sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that continually washes away your sins that allows us to maintain fellowship with God. And that fellowship, remember what it does? It builds confidence. We need to know that we're saved. We need to know that heaven will be our home. And God wants us to know that we can live life here upon this earth with that kind of assurance if we walk in the light, if we confess our sins. Now, if you're one of those individuals like me that likes scribbling in your Bible, underlining words, writing different verses down, writing different things, I want you to look at verse number 9 carefully. Because in verse number 9, we learn that there is forgiveness with God. Write down Psalm 86, verse 5, and you will see that exact phrase. There is forgiveness with God. But notice this point from 1 John 1, verse 9. If there's forgiveness with God, there's fellowship with God. Remember, it's fellowship with God that brings joy to Christianity. And the Apostle John wants us to know that there is forgiveness with God as the children of God. Therefore, there is fellowship. Well, that brings us to 1 John chapter 2. I want to mention something about the way the Apostle John writes. Maybe you've noticed this before, but if you've never noticed this, I want you to notice it now because it's going to help us in our series of lessons that we're looking at from the book of 1 John. As you go through the book of 1 John, you'll notice that John will mention something. Walking in the light. Confessing sin. He talks about our lifestyle. He talks about our commitment. He mentions these things. He discusses these things, walking in the light, confessing our sins. And then what you'll see the Apostle John doing is mentioning them again. And he's going to elaborate on these two things. You're going to see that at the beginning of 1 John chapter 2. And then John is going to mention another test of fellowship. Another thing that we can look at as we examine ourselves to determine whether or not we are maintaining fellowship with God. Now John again is talking about from 1 John 1, walking in the light. That's the first test. The second test is our attitude toward sin. What should our attitude be? Our attitude should be we should confess those faults. But notice how John begins in chapter 2. He continues a discussion on what he's just talked about in 1 John chapter 1. He's actually working his way back through 1 John chapter 1. And so he elaborates on this subject of sin. And then he's going to talk again about walking in the light. And so he begins by saying, verse chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you." John is giving us the reason why he's writing, "that ye sin not." Now already from 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His Word is not in us. Well, here John is continuing to elaborate on this subject of sin because obviously there were Christians like today that struggle with this idea. And some believe if we sin, we forfeit that fellowship. We forfeit that fellowship if we commit sin. Well, John is dealing with that. He is helping us understand that as we walk in the light, sin is something that we're going to struggle with. And so John says, "Listen, these things I write unto you that ye sin not." What's the point John is making? John is talking about a lifestyle. And he's talking about two different lifestyles. And he's already established that in chapter 1. He talks about walking in the light, walking in darkness. Now, if we walk in darkness, listen to it. If we walk in darkness, we are living a lifestyle of sin. A habitual practice of sin. If we're walking in darkness. As John would say, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Just because you say you have fellowship with God doesn't mean that you have it. If you have it, you're not going to live a lifestyle of sin. You see, friends, there is a difference between living in sin and committing sin. A huge difference. And if we don't see that, if we don't grasp that, we're going to have a hard time understanding what God is revealing to His children. And so as you look at chapter 2, verse 1, John is elaborating on this attitude that we are to have toward sin. As the children of God, we don't live in sin. That doesn't mean that we're never going to commit sin. John has already dealt with that. If we commit sin, we confess those sins before God. Now let me show you another section that sometimes can be somewhat difficult and hard to understand in light of what we've already read. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 6. And then we'll read verse number 9. Whosoever abideth in Him, listen to it, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. And then look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. As I said, Christians really struggle with this. Some believe that they forfeit their fellowship when they commit sin. You don't forfeit your fellowship when you commit sin. As the children of God, we don't live in sin. There are times we commit sin. We understand that sin is a fact of our past. We've all sinned. But now as the children of God, as we walk in the light, it's a fight in the present. We confess our sins. Well, what is the Apostle John saying here in verse number 6, in verse number 9? Well, when you look at the original language, the idea is this. If we're the children of God, if we have been born again, we don't keep on committing sin. Sin is something that doesn't describe us. It's not our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is described as walking in the light, confessing our sins. And so John is saying a child of God does not keep on living in sin like he did before he became a Christian. We confess those sins. And so again, John is helping us understand our attitude towards sin as we strive to maintain our fellowship with God. We need to take sin seriously. And we need to study sin seriously. Sin is something that we have to learn to deal with as the children of God. As I said, we don't ignore it. We don't deny it. We don't cover it up. That's the very nature of sin. Sin seeks secrecy. And if your heart isn't right, if your mind isn't in this, then when you commit sin, that is the very thing you're going to do. You're going to ignore it. You're going to cover it up. You're going to deny it. Listen to Proverbs 28, verse number 13. God says this, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy." You look at Adam and Eve. You look at Achan. You look at David. And you can see that sin seeks secrecy. If we're going to maintain fellowship, we need to understand the seriousness of sin. And we can't live a lifestyle of sin. We have to walk in the light. We have to confess our sins. Now notice how John is going to add a truth to what he's already talked about as you continue to read chapter 2, verse number 1. If any man, listen to the language there in verse 1. If any man sin, there it is again. Chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to what he says. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And number 2, verse number 2, speaking about Jesus Christ our advocate, He is also the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. What is John doing? John is broadening our understanding so that we will deal with our sins. As you stop and think about these two terms, Jesus Christ our advocate, Jesus Christ the propitiation for our sins, salvation is a matter of justice. Again, salvation is a matter of justice. The point is, God is just. God is righteous. And God will uphold His holy law. Listen to what the prophet Nahum said about God. And Nahum 1 verse 3, God cannot acquit the wicked. God cannot just overlook sin. God has to deal with sin. God has to punish sin. Solomon would say in Proverbs 11 verse 23, the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Those who live a lifestyle of sin outside of Christ can expect the holy wrath of God to come upon them when Jesus Christ returns. God will take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. But listen to me. We also learn in God's holy word, not only is He just, but God is merciful. He is both merciful and just. Now you think about these two terms. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Justice is when we do get what we deserve. How can God, listen to me very carefully, how can God be merciful and just at the same time? That's what the Apostle John is showing us. And this encourages us to have the right attitude towards sin. It goes back, all of this goes back to that second test for maintaining fellowship with God. We must have the right attitude towards sin. And these two truths right here can really encourage us to confess our sins before God. Knowing, number one, that Jesus Christ is our advocate. Let's talk about this particular term because it's a beautiful term. As you think about advocate, it reminds us of the courtroom, the court of justice. As you go before the judge, you usually have someone to plead your case. You have a defense attorney. That is literally how this term is translated. As we come before, you remember the throne of God, as we mentioned earlier, the language of Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. We have Jesus Christ, our high priest, who pleads our case before the Father. We have an advocate, the Apostle John says. Again, if you write in your Bible to help you understand this particular term, you may write down this idea. We have a divine defense attorney. Someone that is next to us. Someone who comes to our aid. Someone who pleads our case before the throne. That truth encourages us. Again, not to cover up our sins, but to confess our sins. And really, if you put the whole thought together, we can have the right attitude towards sin, confessing our sins, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John, our advocate, 1 John 2, that pleads our case, that allows us to maintain that fellowship. It's the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. And it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who comes to our defense, who pleads our cause before the throne of God. Again, the right attitude toward sin. And it gets better, doesn't it? I mean, here's a word that you have to sometimes practice saying. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. I believe these are some of the greatest words that you will find in the New Testament. As you think about the etymology of this word, the background of this word, it's a beautiful word. Rooted in the Old Testament. The idea is this, propitiation. Jesus Christ is our substitutionary sacrifice. In other words, Jesus Christ died in our stead. And that makes His sacrifice perfect. You see, we are guilty. We've established that. We are the guilty ones. We deserve wrath. We deserve the vengeance of God. But we also read about Jesus, who is the propitiation of our sins. The one who died in our stead. The one who provided a substitutionary sacrifice. A couple of verses. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. He bore our sins on the tree. Jesus Christ was paying the price for our sins. The just for the unjust. 1 Peter 3 verse 18. That He might bring us to God. Fellowship with God through Jesus Christ who died in our stead. You realize that as you continue to look at this word and how it is used in the New Testament, it's seen just a few times in the New Testament. But when you follow the word study, do you know where it's going to take you? It's going to take you all the way back to the Old Testament, and it's going to take you to what is called the mercy seat. Hey, we're familiar with the mercy seat. Remember, this is the lid that sat upon the ark with the two cherubims where the blood was applied. And when that blood was applied, again, propitiation was made through those animal sacrifices. And the people of God found mercy. Jesus Christ, we could say, as you look at this word propitiation, is our mercy seat. He's our mercy seat. Now let's go back to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 3 really puts all of this together. These thoughts that we're talking about. And as you look at Romans chapter 3, you can see really the overall context. Paul is showing that salvation is in Christ. One must obey the gospel. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. The gospel reveals that plan of salvation. Well, here in Romans chapter 3, I know you're familiar with verse 23. For all have sinned, Paul says, and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse number 24. In verse number 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have redemption in Christ Jesus. We haven't been redeemed with corruptible things. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The grace of God, which is the source of salvation, can be seen in what Jesus Christ has done for us. We didn't deserve it. God did this out of His love and grace, sending, 1 John 4, verse 10, His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation has to do with God's grace. It has to do with God's love. God's love, 1 John 4:10. God's grace, 1 John 3, verse number 24. Now look at verse number 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, there's our word again, through faith, that's on our part, in notice, His blood. Now watch this wording because it goes back to what we've just introduced from 1 John chapter 2. To declare His righteousness for the sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse number 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness that He, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Well, what is Paul revealing in all of this? Paul is showing us how God can be merciful and just at the same time. And the only reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we can be justified before God this morning is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary by shedding His blood. That blood was shed in our stead so that our sins can be washed away. And when our sins are washed away, again, God declares us as being just right before Him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have in Christ Jesus. And that is something that should be before our minds. It's something that we should dwell upon as we strive to live as New Testament Christians. Maintaining that fellowship with God as we walk in the light. We have fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus Christ continually washes away our sins. And John says we have one that will plead our case before the Father. We have Jesus Christ, our advocate. And He is the propitiation of our sins. Listen to it. He is pleading our case. And as He pleads our case, He pleads His merits of blood. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Romans 9, verse 22. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be no fellowship. There would be no eternal salvation. But I can stand before you this morning and tell you that we can have fellowship. We can have confidence in salvation because of what we have in Jesus Christ. And this will encourage you to have the right attitude toward sin. I don't want to cover up my sins. I don't want to ignore them. I don't want to deny them. I want to confess them, knowing that I have Jesus on my side, coming to my aid, pleading my case, knowing that He died in my stead. He provided that substitutionary sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice that can bring us to God, that can put us in a position where God looks upon us and declares us righteous through His righteousness. Oh, John is encouraging us to maintain that fellowship which produces confidence. Lord willing, when we come back tonight, we're going to continue looking at 1 John chapter 2. John is now going to go back to that first test of fellowship. And he's going to elaborate on what it means to walk in the light. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. That song really encourages us to respond to the Lord's invitation. This isn't Clay's invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. And we're going to be singing about that fountain that's been opened for the cleansing of all people, of God's people. That fountain of cleansing that we're singing about was foretold by Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. A fountain of cleansing would be open for God's people. That fountain of cleansing has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're outside of Christ this morning, your sins could be, listen to me, washed away. And God can declare you this morning as being justified right in His eyes because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from the wrath to come. I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you will respond to God's love, God's grace by your obedience to His plan of salvation that can wash away your sins. If you are a child of God, I hope you are maintaining that fellowship with God. I hope you're examining your life, looking at these tests of fellowship that can help you, can help me examine whether or not we're maintaining fellowship. Are you walking in the light? Do you have the right attitude towards sin? If you're not right with God, I hope you will confess those sins. We want you to know we're here for you this morning. We're here to encourage you. We're here to pray for you as we all think about our life. This morning, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, won't you do so right now as we stand and as we stand.